Can I ask you a little about your experience as a refugee? When you came up to Glasgow, did you mix with other people who had to escape Germany? Yes. Or even before that? Did
you mean when I first came out?
Well, you were only here for 6 weeks, so no,
yes.
I mean...
No, there were several. There were several at that time. And really? At least one, or possibly two, I don't remember exactly. Also, eventually, I met again in Paris. When I say met again, simply and solely because we were... Once we left here, we went to different units. And I'm sure I was the only one who went to the Ochsenbach Light Infantry. The last employer, farming employer, was very, very helpful in any ways.
He'd already had your uncle as a butler.
Yes. And he could have stopped me from coming by saying he needed it, and it was a reserved occupation. You couldn't argue with this. He was very helpful, he understood, and I've kept in contact till he died with him and his wife. In fact, while I was farming there, this was the better times, in the evening I played bridge with them.
Yeah, no, I think I wanted a little more, because I know that when we first met you, it was through the Sarok. So was there a gap when you were here and you weren't mixing with any other refugees and then you met them again?
No, once I was working, and I really had very little else. That, incidentally, Glasgow University had at least three, I think it was four, professors.
Who were kinder transport.
Who were kinder transport.
That, I think, is incredible.
I know, that is amazing. So that's you, Professor Hutter.
That's right.
Izzy Metzstein.
Izzy.
Izzy Metzstein.
And who's the... Overton, Carl Overton.
He's died.
Oh, yes, Carl Overton, who died recently.
What was Carl Overton's
chemistry?
Chemistry.
Yeah.
That is quite remarkable.
Did you know any of the people when you came to Glasgow and came along to any of the meetings?
When I first came up, just to join the forces. The Glasgow people...
gave hospitality.
Especially, I've forgotten what the name of the place was. Hospitality to Jewish recruits, if you like to put it. And I went to that with two or three others, and we were very hospitably treated. We met some of the younger people, but we never... Being there only for 6 weeks, and 6 weeks in Glasgow at that time, which is winter time now, fogs. I don't know if you remember Glasgow.
Black, black, black.
So the people were friendly, but also the non-Jewish people were friendly. For one penny, you could go anywhere on the trams, and the conductresses often refused to take your penny, because they knew we were getting very little. So that was very reasonable, very happy. But I never kept up with any of them.
And later you met, did you meet through Sarok people again? When you joined Sarok, did you meet other people at that stage or not really?
That I had seen, met before, no.
I
don't forget, so many years have gone in between that probably most of them have gone somewhere else.
I can remember going to a lecture when we first came up, when we came up with B'nai B'rith. And I can remember...
Wasserstein was one of them.
Oh, yes, of course, the Wassersteins lived very close to us for that very short time. Mm-hmm. And my children... They gave us a lot of baby clothes. We were absolutely nothing. So for years, my children's dolls were wrapped in a blanket, little square blanket, with BW in the corner. So there he is. And... But we unfortunately should have kept it, shouldn't we?
And have your sons kept that Subak Sharp?
Yes. They're both consultants now. And yes, Subak Sharp. His daughters, his son also is Subak Sharp. He has twin daughters. And they, although they married, got new married names, have taken the Subak into their name. I was on a visiting committee that were involved in cancer research in the main. It was a British-Czech combined, and we started in Prague, and I happened to be sitting opposite another man called Alexander, who was also, I think, Jewish professor, speaking to one of their leaders on the Czech side, who was a minister. as far as I know. The Czechs had two ministers, I think. One was Slovak and one was Czech at the time. And he just asked me whether I had any connections. So I said, yes. Where to? So I said, my father was born in Trebic, but I've never been there. So he said, okay, I'll make sure that you go there and visit during this joint visit between British and Czechoslovak scientists who are interested in various aspects of cancer research. Which, incidentally, the British leader was Michael Stoker, who had been John's my predecessor. And so that's the first time I went, and I've been a number of times.
91 keeps crossing the Atlantic, was here 2 or 3 weeks ago. 91.
The family has been very close. And
I was going to ask, which I know hasn't anything to do with questions, but I was admiring the photograph of your
Robert.
Award. It's John and you. Uh-huh. So when was that taken?
What is that? That looks very impressive.
That's the CBE.
You have some
for
photographs
God and the Empire.
Of the Queen.
Because
yes,
we interrupted your history of
there's
what
John
happened.
And Lizzie.
So let's go back to the foot and mouth. There must have been something that led from foot and mouth research to getting the CBE.
I held the chair and the directorship together. They were really separate things for 26 and a half years. And
but also, who's on
after
various
about 20 or so. This was in, when was it? 91?
I don't think I've ever seen a CBE. It's
no,
lovely looking. The blue is beautiful.
Look how, what a good looking man, what a good looking boy my husband was. Don't you think?
I noticed that
in
the
very handsome.
And blonde hair.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see the grandmother with the blonde hair on the landing.
And I was very blonde, but of course one turns pink as one gets older.
There you are, you see, you have various government appointments and things.
So this is the Biochemical Society?
That's the Sieber Medal. There's only one awarded each year. Can I turn it around to you? You'll see it's more attractive on the other side.
Very
could
nice.
Almost be a Jew. His name was Misha. He might have been.
And why were you awarded?
He started BNA.
Why were you awarded
right.
the CBE?
Isolated the chemical.
What would you say was the highlight of your working career?
Oh. Highlight? It was really to in considerable competition at that time to be picked by Hemsworth as the future director when Michael Stoker, my predecessor, took over the Imperial Cancer Research Fund. And I was picked and given that opportunity despite of the fact that there were several other people who were
three others.
More British than I. So you say highlight. I enjoyed my work. I enjoyed the work I did on nearest neighbor analysis. This is where you analyze DNA, RNA, by transferring one atom from one to the nearest neighbor and then identifying which are the different letters that follow one another. That, I did quite a bit there, and that gave me some reputation elsewhere. I did quite an interesting work much earlier than that. I did, when I was with Pont initially, I really discovered some non-nuclear inheritance, extra-nuclear inheritance in fungus. That would have been my career normally if I hadn't suddenly had a wife, a child, and the opportunity came to start something quite different in viruses about which I knew very little at that time when I started. Other things were isolating some of the first mutants of herpes simplex virus, still with my hands, which was very important. And suddenly finding that I was beginning to get an international reputation. I didn't publish very much.
Probably because you were so busy actually working.
That's right.
Even if I say this myself, I was fairly generous in starting something and then handed it over to others. But I felt that that was the right way of going about it.
He never kept anything for himself. Other people often got them.
To be elected to EMBO was really another hand, as European Molecular Biology Organization, very early during its time, and I did quite a lot of work for them, and amongst other things, I went on to one of their committees and then became the chairman of the workshop course and workshop committee. I ran several workshops here in Glasgow, which was really very important because it seeded, so I got known quite well as seeded virology, in particular the genetics aspect of virology, which I did virtually throughout Europe. So that was quite early on.
I like the way you sort of say, very understated, that was, I think that's quite exceptional.
He worked for the horse race betting people. Well, okay, but I'm just going to say he did at some stage or other. And he was given hospitality by Lord Carnarvon, so he went and saw the remains of the Tutankhamun bits in his that were there, and it was very interesting. Goes to the Jockey Club. I've even been to the Jockey Club, and you know the game's not worth the candle, so you had to pay for your candle on your bridge table or your card table, and that game wasn't worth the candle. And the other thing is, of course, he had lunch with the Queen, and they talked about snotty noses. It's a horse disease.
I lost out on that one because this
didn't
was at St. James Palace. She came, we had very nice lunch with very good wine that was there, and I was in the queue standing on it, and Carnarvon came up to me and he said, "John, you should meet the Queen." So I was dragged out, saw everybody else continuing getting their wine and so on, went to speak to her. She talked about her problems and so on, and you can't really leave the Queen. Finally she said, "Just talked to my vets and went to see a vet, and once off the leash, so to speak."
You race back for the wine.
It's too late.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a sad story.
I think that's probably a low point.
Yeah. No, but it was quite nice. It was interesting in itself to be on that committee that had quite a lot of money, but eventually they ran out of money, so that stopped it, and that money that committee still had was handed over to the horse race betting levy board, and they went on.
But that very was very close to with Smith, Klein and Beecham. Yes,
that was quite interesting. Other highlights was
I think
running some of the herpes virus workshops was really
when he retired.
And I would have thought this Seabird Medal. Didn't
yeah,
and
that is a bit of silver.
Certainly is.
So, you know, that was a wonderful lecture because all the people who've been associated with him from all over the world, and there's a map up on the wall of the world where all the people who'd been associated with him came, they were on the map.
They did me well.
And the principal at that stage was very nice. He said he always knew that when John Subaxhob had something to say, he said, "John always thought first and spoke afterwards." I can't remember the exact words, but it was very nice. And then later on, there was the last meeting of the herpes group, and this was in Vancouver. They presented him with a gold whistle. Now, don't laugh, but the whistle was the handover. You know, in a relay race, you hand over. Well, the whistle was always handed over to the next chairman. So this time
you started the meeting and then you hand.
So they gave him actually a gold whistle. So I don't know who will get who on earth has a solid gold whistle, which we have. And then the other thing which they did was when the collection was made when he retired, and the J.H. Subaxhob lecture was inaugurated for each of these meetings
I think they must by now.
Must have run out of money by now. But
because this was international, sort of international.
Well, I think you obviously, what mining engineers' loss was as it came to the world of genetics, I think you've done much better than you would have done as a mining engineer.
I think you might be right there.
So he was obviously wrong.
The idea of, I don't know, this man just wanted to fill certain places. He had no interest.
So anyway, it was only after he retired and Dorrit started that we went to the first one. Suddenly, he becomes a member outside of a Jewish community. And I think this was very good. The other thing was that while he was working, people said, "You speak very good German." where did you learn it? And he'd said school, which of course is correct, but not giving away too much.
Well, it just depends who.
And the children always used to make fun of him, as
yeah.
I can remember Bernard Wasserstein's parents yeah. telling us the lovely story. She was called to the telephone, and when she came back, the eldest one, the others were in the bath, and the eldest one was standing there imitating his mother. You will get out of the bath now. Our children always used to say, Dad, why does Dad say finger and not finger? What were the other things they always laugh? And the other thing is we have one or two words which are Austrian, which we use, and automatically kukuruts, which is maize, sweet corn, palachinke, which is pancakes.
It's in Hungarian as well. My
that's right. That's right.
Don't forget the Austro-Hungarian Empire. You asked about Jewish, and obviously most of my colleagues and people in the Institute all known that I'm Jewish. However, nobody ever said anything that I could in any way regard as hinting at some problem. The only time that I have come across it on one occasion was quite different. You know, I had, as the director of the Institute, I had to got a number of visitors at different times, and I took them to lunch and showed them around the Institute and so on. And there was one retired chap, he had a cardiac problem. I don't even remember his name exactly anymore, who kept on asking questions. And he then said, no, personal question, he said, how come I couldn't find your name in the medical directory in the list? I said, I'm not there, but if you're interested, well, how come you become the director? I said, I was just taking him back from the lunch and said, okay, I'll let you know. I took him into my office where my secretary said to Mary, just get the who's who and get my entry from the who's who and give it to a doctor.
John has always had tremendous loyalty from his staff. He's had four secretaries. We keep up with all of them. And they all think he's absolutely wonderful, you know.
It's been a pleasure.
No, it's been extremely interesting and incredibly impressive, actually.